Revelation chapter 4. It was my night to sing, so I got the lepers to help me. And then we swindled Miss Leper into singing most of it. Swindled Brother Leper into playing it. I'm telling you, I'm getting smarter. I'm telling you, less work, less stress. I appreciate that very much. I told him, I said, I could care less if I ever sung a solo ever again in my life. I love singing with people, other people that are human beings, that I can say, hey, they messed me up, sorry. When you're by yourself and you play the piano and you sing, you mess up. You can't blame nobody. You can't even look at the piano and go, why'd you do that, you know? But I'm thankful for what God has given me, but I'm also thankful for the people He's given me to sing with. And so anybody else wants to sing with me, I promise you, I will let you. So, yeah, quartet, there we go. Our quartet that we put together, we got to get back together. It was actually pretty good the other day, so I'm looking forward to that. All right, Revelation chapter 4, I'm going to end up this series on casting tonight. Next week, you got a special guest going to be here. So he's here tonight, but we've been talking about casting, working on your casting, and I've enjoyed studying this and just some things that God has showed me. And really, whenever I begin to study for this series of messages, is really this was the first one that came to my mind, and so I had to work backwards almost through the Bible, looking at the word casting, and really you'll know where I'm going. We're going to read the entire chapter; it's only 11 verses. But let's read it, if you will, and then we'll look at some things tonight in about casting your crowns. And verse 1 says, and after this I looked. After what? After talking about the seven churches of Asia Minor. After the church age. Okay, after the church age, guess what's going to happen? We're out of here, right? Hello. In chapter 4, there's no mention of the church. Why is that? Because we're gone. And now John is, and notice what the scripture says, a door was opened to me in heaven. He's leaving the earth. All right. When he looked at the seven churches, it was an earthly vision of the seven churches of Asia Minor. God was giving him a vision, a revealing of the seven churches of Asia Minor, which we think show us the seven periods of church history and match up pretty well, if I may say so. We are in the Laodicean age, aren't we? The closer we get to the rapture, the more we see that we're in the Laodicean age of today, where Jesus is outside going, hello, let me back in. That's where he was in Laodicean church. He was outside. Jesus was outside the church trying to get in. And we've about locked him out again, haven't we? And we got our programs, our plans, and our all these things. And Jesus wants to be in here with us, and I hope he's here tonight. And notice what it says, the door was opened unto me in heaven. And notice what he said, the first voice which I heard was it of a trumpet. I think 1 Thessalonians tells us that. Talking with me and said, come up hither. That's the rapture. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Hereafter the church time, the church period. He says, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on it. In other words, when you get to heaven, the center focus point of heaven is going to be a throne and him that sits upon that throne. That is going to be the center of our worship. That is going to be the center of our life for eternity, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what he says in verse 3. He says, and he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. In other words, these beautiful jewels and gems are going to be glistening. And you'll see here in a little bit in front of the thrones like a glass of sea of glass, crystal sea. We see that the one who sat on it had a rainbow around about him. In other words, all these colors that were coming from... who's the light of heaven? Somebody tell me. Jesus, right? Christ is the light, and he's shining. And when he shines, he is reflecting through all of the beauty of heaven. And it's funny how they pictured it as a rainbow, as remembering a covenant of Jesus' grace and mercy upon our earth. And notice what it says. I love this. And around about the throne were 24 elders. That's 24. I had to do the math today. Matter of fact, I don't have to do that because I'm dyslexic. 4 and 20 elders make sense to me. 24 is, I have to think about that one. He said, and they sat in the seat, 20 seats, and upon the seats I saw 4 and 20 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, most everybody believes this, and most commentators agree that these 24 elders are representative of us. Are representative of the church, of us, the saved people of the earth. Matter of fact, you read a lot of commentation, they believe 12 represents the 12 tribes of Israel, and 12 the 12 apostles of the New Testament, showing that the Old and New Testament have come together, and they're seated around the throne, representing all of us, Jew, Gentile, all of us who are saved, sitting around about this throne and worshiping the Lamb. It says, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which is 7 spirits of God and the 7 representative spirits or 7 representations of what the Holy Spirit is, who He is. Verse 6 says, and I don't have time to give you all this stuff. There's a lot in here. We're trying to get to a verse, but some of this stuff I love. In verse 6 says, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. In other words, they could see all the way around. These are seraphims that are before the throne that are worshiping the Lord day in and day out. They have 6 wings, as we'll see here in just a little bit. It says, and the first beast was like a lion, the second was like a calf, the third beast had the face of a man, the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Most people believe that those 4 things represent the 4 Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew representing him as a lion. And then you have Mark as the ox or as the calf. And then you have the third one was a man, Luke. And then you have John pictures him as an eagle. And it's a representation of Jesus Christ. By the way, everything in heaven is about Jesus Christ. You've got to be careful with symbolization. I understand that. But just remember, everything's about Him. It's not about me and you. This is His throne. This is His kingdom. This is His place. This is what He has prepared for us. And then we see that they bow and say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. He is the I am. Not the I was and I will be. He is the I am. He's all, right? And then it goes in verse 9, it says, and those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever. The 4 and 20 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever. And here it is, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. This is a great picture. We go from an earthly picture of 7 churches that the Lord takes us through and shows us 7 different church time or different periods of church history. And by the way, they match up perfectly. Why? Because God wrote the book. Amen. He knew all. And then we come into from an earthly vision to verse 1 of chapter 4. And He says, and after this, I looked and what? A door was open where? We're going from earthly to the heavenly. A door was open in heaven for me. And He said, come up hither. We find that same phrase in 1 Thessalonians, verse 17. And it says, and then they which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with Him, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall they ever be with the Lord. And so we see that caught up or that rapture that's going to happen is the same as saying, come up hither. Aren't you glad you're going to hear that one day? Come up here. Okay. And we're going to look at some things here in a little bit. I hope you get excited about this. If you don't, then maybe you're not saved. Hello. My life is not so good down here that I'm not ready for heaven. Amen. I've got a great life. Don't get me wrong. We do, aren't we? We're blessed people. But I'm not so much enthroned with this world that I'm not ready for the next one. I'm looking forward to that. They can have all the taxes they want when we leave, right? About to take all of our money. But I want us to focus on that one verse, and it's talking about the 24 elders, which I believe and which most commentators believe that are representative of us, casting those crowns before the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight we're going to cover the last thing, casting your crowns, after we pray. Father, we love You and we thank You for the night. God, thank you that you did build that city of refuge for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, tonight I come to you as humbly as I know how. Lord, bowing before your feet. Lord, asking you to put your hand upon me tonight. And God, would you bless me? Lord, would you speak through me? Lord, would you use me tonight? Lord, as we look at this heavenly vision from John, I pray, God, tonight that you would give us a little bit of a vision of heaven. And God, what is so important that we do the things we do here on earth. And Lord, we ask that you would help us now. Give us, Lord, clear explanation of your scripture through your Holy Spirit. Lord, use us tonight. Fill us with your Spirit. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll give you a few things about heaven. Number one, it's going to be a time of rejoicing. What a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. I promise you, it's going to be like me and Donya were in a, this has been a while back, me and Donya were in an ice cream shop. I said, babe, I want you to watch people that come in this ice cream shop. I said, nobody comes in here going, oh, man. So we sat there, and of course the kids come, I want chocolate, I want whipped cream, I want this, you know. And not one person walked in there and said, why do we have to come here? Now maybe that person that's on a keto diet or a kale diet or whatever the diets they are. I'm on like six different diets. One didn't work, so I was on like six different ones right now. So they kind of intertwine each other. But you watch them come into that ice cream shop and how exciting and how rejoicing those kids mainly are. The parents are thinking, I'm going to pay a lot of money for ice cream, isn't it? And I can go buy a whole gallon. That's usually what I say for what I'm fixing to pay for one cone here. But think about when you get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that's going to be. There's going to be rejoicing. Why will it be a place of rejoicing, a time of rejoicing? We finally get to see Him, whom we've never seen. I finally get to lay my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, when John got up there, there were other people already there. But notice the first thing that he saw was that throne and him that sat upon that throne. And I'm telling you, that's going to be a day of rejoicing. Why? Because the moment we see him, we'll forget about everything that ever happened down here. We'll forget about every trial we ever went through. We'll forget about every sickness that we ever faced down here. Why? Because it's going to be a day of rejoicing. I believe the second thing, and I think we all get excited about this also, is not only is it going to be a time of rejoicing, but it's going to be a time of reuniting. Some of you have said goodbye to people down here, but one day you get to say hello to them again. There's an old song that says, there is a hello after goodbye. And I remember, I forgot where I sung this at now, but I sung, it was at a funeral here, I think it was my brother's mother-in-law, I sang a song, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that place of wonder, nothing can compare. Man, isn't that true? Why? Because we get to see people we hadn't seen in a while. I don't have a lot of close relatives up there, but all my grandparents are up there. Amen. I have my grandfather, I never met him, he died the year before I was born, he was a pastor. He was a pastor for many years, a preacher for many years, and I have, matter of fact, in one of my Bibles that I use for the school, I keep one of his sermons in there. His handwriting is just like mine, or mine is just like his, one or the other. And I tell you, I can't wait to see him. I can't wait to see my grandmother, who I have not seen in a long time, and some loved ones, and me and my wife have a baby up there we've never met. I'm looking forward to seeing, hope it's a boy, but I don't really care. Right? Some of you get to see your mama and your daddy and your wife. I'm not trying to break hearts tonight and rekindle some things in your life. I know some of y'all lost loved ones, but you're going to get to see them again. That's the reason we ought to rejoice. We get to see Jesus Christ. And also, He said that we'll be known as we're known, that He'll allow us to see people we haven't seen. Hey, I cannot wait to meet Noah. Noah, could you tell us about that one more time? When Brother Feaster gets there, he's going to be a little later than I am. I don't know. I'll be dead in Christ first, and he'll be alive and remain. I'll beat you by a second. I'll be like, Brother Feaster, come over here, listen to this story. No, be like, I was out there on that boat. You know, I mean, I don't know, but man, we're going to get to hear these stories of how Isaac, tell us about when your dad held a knife over you and how you, I don't know if we'll do all that, but I'm just speculating. But I'm waiting on it. Isaac be like, well, I just believe my dad knew a heavenly father. Whew, man, that's a good story, by the way. We were talking about that today, weren't we, Anthony? We see that not only is it a time of rejoicing and reuniting, but also it's a time of receiving. Now, here's where it gets a little because the scripture tells us that, notice, if you will, back in verse 4, the end of verse 4, it talks about the 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. Now, if they're sitting in white raiment, this must be post-judgment time, okay? This must be time that they received their reward, okay? Because it says that they had crowns of gold on their head. So, in other words, they received something when they got to heaven. They received... Now, the Bible tells us about rewards, and we're going to look about that about crowns here in a little bit. But here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:8. It says, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor." And going down in chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive" what? Reward. When you get to heaven, you're going to receive reward for that which you have done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Or you're going to suffer loss, which means wood, hay, and stubble. By the way, I have a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. I built a lot of bonfires with my life. Amen? Because why? I tried to do it my way. I tried to do it for my... Listen, Sunday nights has been great for me, Brother Lyda, preaching on motives. Now, I punched him 6 times before preaching that stuff because I don't like it. I'm not went up to him and say, "Thank you for preaching that." No, I punched him. I mean, I just punched him right in the mouth. No, I just got it. I wanted to. But I'm like, you know, man, motives, what's my motives? Amen. I mean, you have to figure out, me and Brother Carter were just talking about this. Why am I doing this? I'm doing it all for the glory of God. Anything that you do, anything you put your hand to, you ought to do all to the glory of God. And why is that? Because one day you're going to receive reward. If I get rewarded here, listen, me and Brother Stewart was talking today. I don't go around doing things so people will go, "Oh, look at what Wiggins is doing." Matter of fact, I like it when you don't see. Because he sees. That what you do in secret, he will reward thee openly. In other words, when I get to heaven one day, he'll reward me. Look, you can give me a gift card, and I love those, by the way. Texas Roadhouse, Home Depot, those are all great. But one day when I get to heaven, I'm not going to go up there and Jesus is going to say, "Here's a stack of cards for you." Because they're no good. But what he's going to do, he's going to reward me with crowns. There's going to be receiving. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, if you don't get nothing else tonight, you ought to write this verse down. 2 Corinthians 5:10. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad." In other words, you're either going to suffer loss or gain by what you have done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, don't ever do anything because I asked you to do it and you just think you have to do it. Right? Hello?
Hello? Is this Michael?
If I come to you and say, "Hey, will you teach a Sunday school class?" Don't teach a Sunday school class just because I asked you. That's nice of you. But do it because you want to serve Him. Don't do things in life just because you feel obligated and that it's a duty. As Brother Latta had said a couple of weeks ago, it shouldn't be just duty. And by the way, I have to be careful that I don't do things just because I get paid to do it. I think there's such a danger sometimes of being on staff because I can become, right? There's some days I come up here and I donate my time just like you guys do. I come here on my day off and I don't want nobody to pay me or anything. I want to do it because why? Some of you do that. I want to give them my time. I think the times that I get paid, I don't get reward for sometimes. Because I'm already getting rewarded for it, right? It's the things that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's passing out that tract when nobody's around you. It's telling somebody about Jesus. It's being kind one to another and loving one another. It's sitting down and writing that card to somebody who's discouraging. And nobody but you and that person knows that you wrote that card. Hey, listen, God keeps an account. God keeps exact records. God is not from Florida. He can count. Somebody say amen right there. Figured I'd throw that in there. But I want to give you the last thing, and it's going to be a time of reverencing. Listen, don't think you're going to get to heaven and give Jesus a high five. Amen. I get so tired of people talking about our Lord and Savior the way they do. The man upstairs, JC, man, it just sickens me. To me, it's so disrespectful when we talk about our God the way we do and don't reverence Him as we should. He is a holy God. Listen, you're not going to go to heaven and shake His hand. You say you don't think so? Mm-mm. I think you're going to hit your face long before you hit His hand. I believe, hey listen, on an earthly scale, when a person would approach a king in the Bible time, they didn't get close to him before they bowed. They bowed on their face before the king. David did that before Saul, and Saul wasn't even a good king, and yet we understand that he came before him when he could have killed him, and he bowed before Saul and said, I'm respecting or I'm reverencing the office that Saul holds. Listen, if David bows down to Saul, a wicked king, what are we going to do to a holy king? The king of the Jews, the king of us. We're going to bow our face at his feet and we're going to reverence him. You know the most embarrassing thing? Well, maybe not the most. Why do we always say that? That's the most embarrassing thing. I don't know. I've had some things that pretty borderline of the most embarrassing thing. I fell off stage preaching. I've ripped pants preaching. That was the most embarrassing thing for me. But don't you hate when you go somewhere and people are giving gifts out and stuff and you forget it? You go, I know none of you are like us. You're on the way there and you're looking in the back seat going, what can we give them? And I don't know about y'all, but there's always one store open. And it's called the Dollar General. I don't know if y'all know this either, but they don't have good gifts. If it wasn't for As Seen on TV section over there, it looked like you had went to the Dollar General. The one thing I always hated about the Dollar General is that they put DG on there. At least at Walmart, you can take that sticker off and make it look like it was more expensive. And I never forget one time for Shelby's birthday, I don't know if I forgot or what I was doing, but anyway. So I went to the Dollar Store and I got her a whole bunch of things out of the kids section, like fake nails, fake mirror, all these things. And I gave it to her. She remembers that birthday more than any of them. But what is it going to be like when you stand before a holy God or you bow before a holy God and you have nothing to bring Him? When you would approach a king in the Old Testament, you would come bearing a gift. Why do you think that the wise men brought gifts to Jesus? Because they were wise and knew that He was king. Amen. They came bearing gifts. And by the way, all those gifts they brought Him meant something specifically. When we get before the Lord, I don't want to look at my hands and have nothing to cast at His feet. But what are the crowns? I want to give these to you real quick. I know you've heard these probably 100 times. But I want to give them to you again, maybe for somebody who hasn't heard this. But what are the crowns that we're going to be able to cast back at His feet? Look again, if you will, verse 9 again. Somewhere in there. It says in the beast, verse 10, it says, and the 20 elders fell down before Him and sat on the throne and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, and then they said, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive what? Glory and honor. Notice what it says, and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. In other words, you're God. You're far above us. You're worthy of these. See, nothing that we receive because we're good people. We receive it because He's gracious and merciful to us. He gives us the strength to be able to do what we do. He is all-powerful God. And when He gives us power to do His will, listen, there is no way in this world that I could stand before you and preach a message without Him. Because the Bible says without Him, you can do nothing. And trust me, I know that. I've tried it before. I can do nothing without Him. It's going to be a time of reverencing. Why? Because of the crowns that we will receive, and we will realize that these are not ours, that they belong to the King. And we cast them at His throne. Folks, there's a song that... It talks about a pile of crowns laid before His feet. Love that song, by the way. And I was just thinking, I hope the crowns are able to go up so high we have to stand on our tippy toes to see over to see him again. But I'm afraid that there's going to be just some around the throne. There's an old song that says, "Shall I empty-handed be when my Jesus I shall see?" Think about that. I'm going to give you the five crowns. Number one, it's a victor's crown, or an uncorruptible crown. And it's found in a few different places in 1 Corinthians 9:25, and I'm going to give you these quickly. It says, "And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." And verse 26 says, "And I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, but not as one that beateth the air." And here's verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 9. "But I keep into my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach others, I myself should be a castaway." In other words, Paul said, the reason I do things, the reason that I do what I do, is because I must bring myself under subjection of Jesus Christ. In other words, I have to come under His authority. I have to come under His power. And the victor's crown is only going to be rewarded to those people of self-discipline. There's an emoji this, and I use it a lot. Right? I mean, self-discipline, hello? Anybody else have problems with that? You know what? I have trouble with self-discipline. In other words, I want to do my own thing instead of doing His thing. And making sure that I stay on His track and on His path. And doing what He wants me to do. The victor's crown, or the incorruptible crown. Number two, we see the crown of rejoicing. We just talked about this. But this crown goes to the soul winner, of those who have proclaimed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 says, "For what is our hope or our joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" So if you read that passage of Scripture, it is the crown of rejoicing. In other words, when do the angels in heaven rejoice? Over one sinner that repenteth. And we're going to receive a crown of rejoicing over those who we have witnessed to. By the way, you may not know today that the people got saved because of you. But one day you will. I believe this with all my heart. I believe not just the people you physically win to the Lord, not just those you gave a tract to, but sometimes it's by messages you preach, lessons you taught, by the life you lived. And people said, "Boy, I want what they have." I believe our attitude can change the world just by being kind one to another. Jesus said, "If you're going to be my disciple, here's how they're going to know it. That you have love one for another." Well, wouldn't that be a good little deal right there? And so the crown of rejoicing. Then we see the third thing, the crown of righteousness. This will be given to those who have longed for... I know one crown I'm getting. And this is it. You say, "Are you boasting?" No, I'm just telling you. The crown of righteousness, because it will be given to those who long for Christ's coming, who look for His return. Man, I'm always looking. This train back here used to scare me back when they could toot their horn. They still do once they get past the track. They're not supposed to honk the horn between the two over here, but they do it back here when we're back there working. If you're bent over working on something, you have your back to them and not paying attention. And I think it's probably Hicks or one of those guys that know us. Whoa! I've done a cartwheel before back there. Scared me to death. I said, "Lord, He's coming back." But I'm telling you, a crown of rejoicing for those who look for Christ's coming. Hey, you know who are the people are looking for His coming? Those who are thinking about Him. Those who have not gotten bogged down into this world. Those who have not grabbed a hold of this world. And listen, when Jesus takes you out of this world, you shouldn't leave claw prints. I remember the first time I went skiing. And the last time I went skiing. I went to ski school. I passed out. Elevation got me. Passed out. And then I dropped out. Because I was thinking, I can figure this out. How hard is it? Well, apparently it's really hard. I remember the kids. This is back when we were at Lakeland and the kids tricked me because they hated me. Some of them are probably, I don't know. But I remember going, I said, "You know what? I'm going to go to the bunny slope and I'm going to learn this." Well, the kids, I didn't know what black, blue, green, baby, kids, whatever. I just knew I went way up on the mountain. I was thinking, How do you get off this little lift thing? And then I figured out once you get on the lift, you don't get off unless you want to jump. And I thought that would be a worse idea. They dropped me off at the top of Pikes Peak. That's what it seemed like. Mount Everest. We got up there. We went above the clouds. I don't know. We were up there. I saw Jesus waving at me. That's how high we felt like we're. I remember I got off and it looked like real easy. I was like, you know, and there were kids up there. I was like, well, it can't be that bad. And I remember, I never will forget it. It's so vivid in my mind. This has been 20 years ago. And we came around a thing like this, and then it went. Well, I mean, I'm skiing. I'm figuring this baby out. You know, I'm like, shh. I watch the Olympic skiers. That's a bad thing to watch. Because they go, shh, shh, shh. That's not what you do as a beginner. You go, shh, shh, shh. And you drag your pole in the ground, apparently. And I never will forget. I went around, and the last thing I remember is that heel and me going, I got to slide. I don't know why I kept thinking, you just slide. That's how they stop at the end of a race. On the downhill race, when they get to the end of it, they just like that and spray the crowd. And it's like, I'm like, well, I'm going to do that and I'm going to stop. I'm a little heavy. Not back then so much, but I spun all the way around. And now I'm facing this way. And in my mind, I'm thinking, how did I get here? But one thing you could tell where I was, because I clawed that snow all the way down until finally I finally just grabbed enough snow that I was making a ball with me. And I never will forget. And I had flipped over. I forgot to tell y'all, I flipped over and then I went over. Anyway, it was a bad day. I saw sky, snow. And all I remember is when I came back over, the kids laughing at me. I was thinking, I was going to hit them with my stick, but I don't know where those went to. And I don't even know what those are used for. But I remember clawing that mountain, snow coming down. I was thinking, that ain't the way I want to leave this earth. I was praying for Jesus to come back that day. I figured I was already pretty close to him anyway. But that was, man, that was a bad day. But listen, when Jesus calls me, I'm not going to have a pew in my hand or a rope in my hand and a chain in my hand trying to hold on. Why? Because I'm done with this world. Have nothing to hold me here. I'm looking forward to Jesus, the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy, I don't think I even read the scripture. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not only to me, but also unto all them that also that love his appearing. And then we see the fourth thing. We see the fourth crown, the crown of life, placed upon the heads of those who have endured and triumphed over trial and temptation. Those who were persecuted or even martyred for the cause of Christ. Listen, there's people who have given their life for us to be here tonight. One day they're going to get a crown of life. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised them that love him. And Revelation 2:10 says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and that ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death. I will give thee a crown of life. The Lord says, don't worry about what's happening down here. I'm going to reward you one day. We see the last thing. We see the crown of glory. And this one here really applies to preachers and Christian leaders. You see that in 1 Peter 5:4. It talks about when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. But let me ask you tonight, what will you have that you can cast at his feet? Listen, I think the messages Sunday night have been spot on with Brother Latta, for me anyway. And I really have had to check my motives. Before you get married, do you not look at her and say, why am I marrying her? And I hope that your motive is not, she looks good. As you give it a few years, you're not going to look so good. If you marry people because of looks, you won't last long. All the women say amen. Amen. Right? You say, well, I'm going to marry her because of money. That's not going to last either. You better have the right motive for marrying them. You better make sure that you love them and that this is God's will for your life. When you join a church, you ought to have the right motive for joining the church. But here's the thing, is that we ought to serve God with the right motive. Not, I don't serve him to get a reward either, by the way. I serve him to bring honor and glory to him. See, receiving these crowns is, we're just going to reverence him by casting him back at his throne and saying, Lord, thank you for giving me the body that I had to be able to serve you with. Thank you, Lord, that I had the job that you gave me so I could give back. Lord, thank you for the help meet you gave me so I could be an effective Christian. Lord, thank you for all these things, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the power of God in my life. And I'm just going to throw them back at him and say, Lord, thank you. Tonight, what do you hold in your hand? What do you do for the Lord Jesus Christ? What is the motive behind it? I don't mean to keep bringing up our last message, but I'm just saying is that we ought to know what we're doing and why we're doing it. Not as one that beateth the air, but one that knows what we're doing tonight. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a time of invitation. I want to ask you tonight, what will you cast at his feet? What is the crown that you'll have in your hand that you'll be able to cast back? Father, we love you. Lord, we are so looking forward to the day when you call us out of this world. Lord, we know that it'll be on your time and your day. Lord, we know that it seems to be very, very soon. Lord, we look forward to that day. Lord, to rejoice with you and to see Jesus Christ. Lord, to see those whom we've not seen in a while. God, thank you for that promise. Lord, we know that it'll be a day of receiving, Lord, those things which we've done, whether good or bad. Lord, also it'll be a day when we can reverence you and worship you with those things that you have blessed us with. God, tonight I pray that you bless this sermon that has been preached, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.